praise the Lord. My, what a beautiful song. And worship the Lord today. Praise God. If you want to be turning with me to an Old Testament book, the book of Jeremiah, we're going to read some scripture there in chapter number 8. But while you're turning there, let me just ask of you, how many of you have found yourself doing a lot more coughing in recent days? Now, I know several of you have been sick with various things, but I saw a lot of hands go up there. So maybe you didn't have pneumonia. Maybe you didn't have COVID. Maybe you didn't have a bronchial infection of some kind, like Brother Aaron's been battling this week. But there's something in the air that's causing us all to, you know, feel a little scratchiness in our throat and coughing a little bit. I'm struggling with that a little bit this morning, but it may be somewhat of an illustration from my message today, because part of what we're experiencing is all of the dust and residue that's in the air from the great harvest that's going on. And how many of you, and I know a bunch of you, have had to have seen all of these big machines going up and down the fields, the combines or whatever they call them now, and they're cutting down large acres of corn and soybeans. And have you seen that? You've seen all that? I don't know about you, but I really like that. I've really enjoyed during our times of driving back and forth between here and Illinois. We've seen a big harvest going on, and that moves me. I like that, and I don't understand all of the farming terminology and why, you know, they let it all go dry, you know, the dried corn, the dried soybeans, but that's all part of the process. They've had other harvest earlier in the season, but that kicking up the dust, and last weekend especially, just right over here along Old Dayton Road, they were running those machines up and down those fields, and there were clouds of dust that were settling over the church here. No wonder we're all coughing and grinding away in our voices. But it's that time of year. I like it. I like it, but there's a certain melancholy that settles on me this time of year. I'll mention maybe a little bit about that as we go along here, and I think that it's because it makes me think about this scripture that I'm going to read to you in Jeremiah chapter number 8. If you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, we'll just read this one relatively short verse, but it's part of a long lamentation of Jeremiah. Now, he has a book by that name, the Lamentations, but here he is lamenting the condition of his people Israel, and he says in verse 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Do you hear the sadness in his voice? Feel that sense of melancholy, maybe not to the degree of what I'm feeling today, but I hope in this service that we will all feel something of a burden concerning this scripture today at harvest time. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you and we appreciate so much your word, because your word is truth. And I know that there's something that you want to say to us today. And I pray that you would take these words and that you would anoint them by the Holy Ghost and allow us to hear what the Spirit would say to us today. Challenge us all on our various individual levels and inspire us today, we pray. Motivate us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Sometimes I almost accidentally come up with sort of a catchy title for my sermons, but most of the time I like to just pull it straight out of the scripture. And so this morning I want to highlight this one little phrase: summer is ended. Summer is ended. Amen. That's what Jeremiah the prophet says here. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Amen. I like all of the seasons. How about you? Amen. Bottom of my list, wintertime. I don't like wintertime, but I guess that's the California boy in me. I was raised in California. We didn't really see a lot of dramatic change in the seasons in Southern California, but when I eventually moved east and settled in the Midwest area, I learned to love the transitional times, the season changes. I like them all, but wintertime, the least. The heat of summer, not so much, but I like summertime. So I guess if I'm putting them in order, fall is number one, spring is number two, and summer number three, and then wintertime. But all of them are important to us, and all of them are symbolic seasons in our life. And I think that what the scripture has to say about the seasons is important. We read in the book of Genesis, for instance, chapter 8, this verse, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That is a declaration from the Lord. It is a declaration from Almighty God. These seasons, then, these times, are signs from Him, and they will continue all the way to the end. And so I'm really not so much worried about what human beings may be doing to change the seasons, though we need to be somewhat concerned about it. I don't want to get off on a conspiracy theory about weather manipulation this morning, but I do think that there are some strange things going on. I just know this, that God has declared in advance that all of the seasons will remain and all of the days and nights will remain as long as He is in control, and we will see this as a declaration of His creation. Somebody say amen to that. I believe God's in control, don't you? Praise the Lord. 27 times in Scripture, the word summer is used. And most of the time, it is a literal use of the word. It is the season of summer. And so let me tell you three things about the word summer here that I think are important in our discussion today. That first of all, there is a literal season of summer mentioned throughout the Scripture. We've seen it here this morning, and in other places in the Bible, we understand that that's probably what the writer of Proverbs had in mind when he was giving his declaration to us that he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. So he uses the literal season of summer to motivate us and remind us that summer is a time of work. Summer is a time of planting, growing, and then eventually it fades into fall, you know, the season of harvest. And then he says, there's a time for us to be busy and a time for us to be at work because there is coming a time when it will be shameful to have found out we didn't work when we had opportunity. We didn't harvest when it was time to harvest. Amen. Jesus even said concerning his work in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming that no man can work. So we know that there is a limited time for us to do the things that we need to do. And seasons and days and nights are testimonies to us of that. So these literal seasons of summer and fall, they are lessons to us. And that leads me to my next point. Summer is not just a literal season, but it is a life season. I believe that when we read in the scriptures, say in the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. So that means in our lives there are seasons. That means in our activities, I believe that to everything there is a season. So if things aren't working out for you right now, it may be that it's not the time yet. It's not the season yet. But we need to be aware of the fact that there are seasons in our life. I believe that life seasons are easily described by the four seasons that I've already mentioned. I hope you're hanging with me just a few minutes here, because I want to get to this scripture that I've started with. But I believe that childhood can easily be shown by the season of springtime, the early growth, the blooming season, the starting season of life, childhood. If that is true, then summer would be a great explanation of youth. Youth is summertime. It is time of activity, time of sunshine, time of fun, time of picnics, time of activity, time of growth. And youth can be seen, I think, as summertime. That leads us to us who are a little bit older then, and we begin to see the sun setting and the long days and a little chill in the air, and fall is coming on, and autumn, I think, is middle age to a little after that, and then the age of or the season of winter time, which again reminds me, I don't like winter so much. Amen. The cold, hard times of winter. I heard a preacher friend of mine say that he visited an elderly minister in the nursing home one time. He was well-aged, up in his 90s, and the young preacher thought that he might be able to reap some thoughts of wisdom from him. And so he would, in his visits, he would ask him questions. This particular day, he said, "Brother," he said, "I just want to ask you, what was the hardest trial you ever went through in your life, the hardest time in your life?" And almost without hesitation, that elderly minister said, "This one." You with me? Did you catch that? What's the hardest trial of your life? This one. Amen. Having been through the temptations of youth, having gone through the struggles of raising a family, having faced, difficult career choices, hard trials of all kinds, and then he gets to his diminished years and his time of confinement in the nursing home, and he says, "This is the hardest trial of my entire life." We can't discredit that. We know that it's true. Winter time is a harsh, harsh season. Amen. So we see in the scripture that all of these seasons are mentioned. I believe that they are literal seasons, but they are also life seasons. They remind us of the series and sequences of our own lives. But this particular season of summer, turning into fall and harvest time, is of special note to us because of how the prophet uses it here to remind us that there is a time of growth. There is a season when things are planted and they grow, and we see the fruit and the abundance of that. And summertime is a wonderful time I call it the season of opulence. We might use the word abundance, but because I'm going to tell you three O's, we'll start with the season of opulence, where things are growing and we've got tomatoes coming out of our ears, and ears of corn coming up around our tomatoes, or whatever that is. We've got our gardens are producing experiencing abundance. We've got roadside stands making it all available to us. And we see the opulence and abundance of crops growing in farmers markets and roadside stands and people dropping things off in the vestibule of the church to share, you know, because it's abundant. But then also we know that this is a season of optimism. It's the sunshine. It is the long days. It is the picnics and things that I've already mentioned. Things look brighter and warmer, and we spend more time outdoors, and generally we feel better when we spend time outdoors and absorb some of the sun's rays and the natural vitamin D and all of that. I really want to preach to you this morning. But I need for us to grasp this importance of how different the summer and the fall are, and why Jeremiah says to us these sad words: summer is ended and harvest is past. Amen. Because that is coming, and it is important for us to pay attention. Amen. And so summer is the season of optimism and the season of opulence and the season of opportunity, because there are some things that can only be done in the summertime. You need to do it while, you know, the old saying is you got to make hay while the sun shines. How many of you old timers can raise your hand and say, I've heard that saying? You make hay while the sun shines, because there's coming a season where, well, it's going to rain. It's going to be cold. The hay's going to get wet. You don't want to put it in your barn wet. You can't do that. It's dangerous. In fact, the dampness in the hay can not only damage the crop and destroy it with funguses, but the dampness at the right times can actually cause it to catch fire and burst into hay bales of flames, and I have actually seen that. And so the saying is true: you got to make hay while the sun shines. Some things can only be done in the summer, and you let the season pass and it's going to be too late. The opportunity will be missed. Amen. I jokingly said here a while back that I had a conversation with our pastor-elect, Brother Kenneth Cruz, and we were trying to set a time frame for his arrival, and which, by the way, I'll just insert this if you haven't heard, November 17th is going to be his first day here as pastor, and so with his commitments to church down in Texas and all of that, this is the time frame that we've established. And so before we knew what the actual date was, I said, Brother, I'm here to help whatever I can, as long as I can, and as long as the people don't run me off, I will stay and help, but do thy diligence to come before winter. That's a quotation, a scripture. 2 Timothy 4:21, do thy diligence to come before winter. It was the appeal of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. I need you to get here before winter. Now, my joking application is I really don't want to be driving back and forth in snowstorms, okay, and ice on the road and all of that. And so that was the lighthearted comment there. But the Apostle Paul was in prison. It was winter time. It wasn't yet winter time, but winter time was coming, and he knew the long, chilly coldness and darkness of winter time in prison. But besides that, travel would be made more difficult. There were things that he needed. He wanted his books, and he said, and bring my coat also. Bring my coat. I need you to get here before winter. Amen. Winter time is coming. There's some things that you have to do before winter. Did you hear what I said this morning? Some things have to be done before winter. Clarence McCartney, the famous Presbyterian preacher whose books I have collected through the years, has a famous sermon on that subject, Come Before Winter. His secretary said later that he had preached this sermon, Come Before Winter, at least 60 times. He had no regret having done that, because he felt this compelling message, especially preaching to young people about coming before winter. Get it done before before it's too late. Opportunity is going to pass. The warm summer is going to turn into colder days. Harsh things are going to come. It's going to be harder later than it is now. Come before winter. Amen. I'd like to preach to you this morning, amen, that I see that summer is ending. Amen. Jeremiah said, summer is ended. Summer is ended. Not only that, he's living at a time where he says, and the harvest is past. Two seasons have come and two seasons have gone, and still we have not been saved. Amen. What a sad commentary on his generation. Their sinfulness, their backsliding, their waywardness away from God. They know better, and God has given them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and still they are not saved. Now, for all of you Bible scholars, and let me just tell you, I am aware that the application here is their desire for deliverance. They are in a special battle, and they have been encamped around about by their enemies, and they are wanting deliverance to come, and so we have that application. But I believe spiritually, Jeremiah is realizing that there's still something wrong with the spiritual climate of his day. There is still something missing in the souls of men, that his people, the reason that they're in this trouble is because they haven't repented of their sins, and they're turning away from God, and opportunities are coming and going, and seasons are changing, and still they are not saved. Still not saved. I want to remind somebody here this morning that God has been so patient towards you. God has blessed you in so many ways. You know that you have had seasons of opulence. Maybe you're not a wealthy man. You're not a millionaire by any stretch of the means, but God has blessed you. You have had things. Amen. You have had abundance in your life. You know what it's like to have happy times, times with your family. Maybe it's not going so well right now, but you have had abundance and opulence and optimistic days in your life when the sun was shining and things were good, and it's because God is good. Amen. And God's been good to you. But summertime is passing. Harvest time is here. I believe that we are seeing the end time seasons coming into view. God has been merciful in giving us a long season as a church. Amen. A long season for the church to grow, for the church to spread, for the church to show its effectiveness in the world. We have had revivals and harvest and wonderful things all through the church history. But if this summer represents the season of the age of grace, the age of the church, then we know that after this comes a season of winter. And pardon me for just a moment. I don't want to be all doom and gloom on a Sunday morning when we've got beautiful mums outside our doors decorated with pumpkins and looking forward to pumpkin pie. And amen. I don't want to be all doom and gloom. But the reality is the days are becoming longer and darker and colder. And winter time is coming, and I believe that the possibility is we may be quickly approaching the end of time, the winter time on God's seasonal clock. And if that's true, we are running out of time. Amen. We are running out of time, and the opportunities that you have right now, right here, today, in this church, the opportunities that you have may be fading away in days to come. I want to recommend to you today, don't let it be said of you, the summer came and went, the fall came and went, and still I am not saved. Still not saved. It's time to get serious about your soul. It's time to realize that God loves you and cares about you. He wants you to go to that heaven after a while that we've talked about and sung about this morning. He doesn't want you to be lost forever and go to a devil's hell and be under the great wrath of of his wintertime judgments. That's not what he wants for you. His hand is outstretched even now. He is calling to you even now. Repent and come to me and return while you can. While it's still harvest time, you have an opportunity and you need to get a hold of that today. Amen. God help us today as the singers get us a song. I'm not going to preach much longer. I don't want to get all confused in the metaphors here. But let me just tell you that these metaphors are, you know, are not strict applications in everyday life or time frame. And by that I mean, I have seen men get into their winter time of their life and still be able to get saved. Y'all with me? Not far from here, just over across the state line in Richmond, Indiana. There at the Tabernacle, Pentecostal Tabernacle. How many of you know the church I'm talking about? Brother Tyler Luck is the pastor there. Little tidbit of information you might not have known. Tyler Luck, if you know him, the pastor there at the Tabernacle, was one of our bus kids in West Plains, Missouri. Amen. And so when he took the church here at Richmond, he wanted Brother and Sister Blue, his first pastors, to preach his first revival there. And this has been a few years ago now, amen, 3 or 4 years ago maybe. But in that revival, amen, in that revival, John Smith came and got saved. He had family in that church, but he never came. He had family that were saved, but he wasn't saved. 35 years he had rejected God. But I remember the Friday night, it was supposed to be a youth rally, amen, but John Smith come into church and at the very beginning of the church walked straight down to the altar and got down, and we all gathered around, and he got prayed through in the winter time of his life. Not just his age, but he'd gotten cancer. And he knew he was running out of time, and it was time to get serious with God. It's time to get serious with God. On the other hand, I have seen young people in the summertime of their life when everything should be happy and good and miss their opportunities, miss their opportunities. One of the sad stories that I have heard in my life, tragic. We have a friend that is an engineer on a railroad. He drives a railroad 5-6 days a week. He's up and down the tracks, and he suffered a great trauma as a result of this incident. He had turned the bend driving that train, pulling I think 50 or 60 cars loaded with heavy cargo. You don't just step on the pedal and the whole train stops. It doesn't work that way. But he came around the bend, and there was a train trestle bridge over a creek, and there was a whole group of teenagers standing in the middle of that track. They had to have gone past the warning signs. They have had to have heard the train whistle coming and the horn blowing. And some of them, when they saw it come around the bend, jumped into the creek and saved their lives, but others did not. In the prime of their life, in summertime of their life, wintertime had come. Amen. It had passed by. The opportunities that they had passed by. I'm not trying to preach gloom and doom and fear here this morning, except to tell you that if you think that because you're young, you can wait until you're in your 30s, and because you're in your 30s, you can wait till you're in your 50s, because that's the way the seasons work. Don't get mixed up with these metaphors today. All I'm trying to say, amen, is to know that there are opportunities available to you right now. Opportunities that are available to you right here today that may not be available a few days from now or a few weeks from now. Amen. Because summertime is turning into harvest, and harvest is going to inevitably turn into wintertime. And then it may be too late, my friend. You can't just keep putting it off. You can't just keep putting it off. We need God. and we need him now. It's time to talk to God about the condition of your soul. And he loves you so much that if you would just ask him to forgive you of your sins, he'll forgive you. If you'll just ask Jesus to come into your life, he's knocking on your heart right now wanting to come in. And if you'll let him in, he'll come in today. Don't miss the opportunity. Summer has ended. For us, the official date was 3 weeks ago, September 22nd, on a Sunday. They call that the official end of summer. But the weather didn't cooperate with the calendar, Brother Steve, and we've had up and down warm days, even some hot days since then. Amen. It can be misleading. Summer has ended. Soon the harvest will be past. Will you be saved? Stand with me this morning. When we read and come across these poetic phrases in the Bible, it ought to make us think how beautiful the Bible is. Rich in poetic verbiage and descriptions, and metaphors are meaningful. I hope I didn't tangle you up in my metaphor this morning, but I'm calling to you. I'm asking you to shake yourself awake and examine yourself and see, have you asked God to save you from your sin? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Have you repented? You have opportunity now. Thank God for opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word, because your word is truth, and I feel your convicting presence here today, and I thank you for that. Lord, if there be any among us today, young or old, or in between, that need to be saved, I pray that you would draw them today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise God. Go ahead and sing, Sister Tricia. I'm just going to open up the altar. I want you to come and find a place to pray this morning. And it may be that you're saved, but you know you've been kind of coasting along. There's opportunities that are getting away from you. If you're not saved, would you join with the crowd and come up here and let us pray with you? If you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart, please just get my attention and let us talk and let's pray. You can go home changed today. You can go home changed, a different life. Keep the harvest in mind, church. It's harvest time. Keep the harvest in mind, church, while you're working, while you're visiting, while you're talking with people. Wintertime's coming.